We're going to dive in to God's Word today. By the way, I know that often we feel this sense of, because we want to show reverence to God, we often sometimes think that reverence is the same thing as being quiet. And certainly there are moments where that is very reverent. But in church, did you know that one of the most reverent things you can do is to fully participate? And what happens? It's not a spectator sport when God shows up. So, with that said, by way of an amen, a cheer, whatever you choose to do, how many of you are excited today that we get to open up the Bible, God's written word to us? And this morning, your daddy God is going to speak, not because of me, but because we go to his words. How many of you are excited that God's going to speak to you this morning? See, this is why we come together, family. It is not just so we hear about the updates of what's going on. It's not just so we can go on trips. It's not just so we can sing. It's so that God will speak to us and we can be changed. And so we're going to do that. In fact, we've been going through this series called Heaven on Earth for the past 4 or 5 weeks. We'll only be in this for about 2 or 3 more weeks and we're done. But I've been shocked by the response I've received, how this seems to have been something that, you know, in my own study, I'll read something and it touches me. I think maybe we need to talk about this. And then sometimes it touches a lot, and then other times you kind of go, no, but this one, but so many. In fact, this past week, I had a number of emails and phone calls and text messages about things we've talked about. You know, 2 weeks ago, we talked about that our words actually can bring heaven in, or our words can bring a little bit of hell into our lives. So we use the acrostic word. Do you guys remember that? I know it was 2 weeks ago, and I don't remember things very well, but you remember the W is that our words need to be wholesome. The O in word is it needs to be others benefited. The R is it needs to be the right time. And the D is that we just need to do it. You know, speak it. Don't just think the word. Speak it to someone and how that can change people. And I had a friend write me this week just saying how she had written to a number of friends who were going through some very difficult times and just the difference that that made. I had another friend this past week after we talked about being hospitable. You remember the acrostic host? That was last Sunday. Maybe, hopefully some of you remember this one, okay? And we talked about to be hospitable, to be someone who invites the stranger in means that you H, you have a heart for people. O, you will open your home or wherever you live. The S is that you will serve them well. And the T is that the time is right now. You don't wait till later, you do it now. And had someone else say how they had unexpectedly received some guests. And it was going to be one of those kind of, oh no! And that this message happened about 2 hours before they arrived. And how that prepared them in a way. And again, it's so neat how God's Word helps us. And so today we're going to continue this on heaven, on earth. Now, we were talking about fathers today. And I know that this is both an exciting day for some, but also a painful day for some, because for some in here, you have like the Leave It to Beaver picture when it comes to your dad. He was home at 5:30, 6 o'clock every night. He'd throw the ball with you in the backyard. He would take you fishing. He was at all your events. And so when you hear the word dad or father, it just, for you, it's like, oh, yes! But look, in a room this size, there are many of us who, when we hear that word, and for some of you, you hear that word, and it's not a yes, it's a, oh, you feel an ache. And so we just want to acknowledge that this morning and recognize that this is both an important day, but also a tender day. And so we just want to be a church that comes alongside those who need spiritual daddies. Who, in fact, I was talking to one of my dearest friends in the world who's here this morning because he's a spiritual daddy to one of our members. And I just think that this is the way God changes the world when it's so broken, is he brings men and women who come together and they serve one another in great ways. But we will never be a church that stops celebrating those good things. And so we want to celebrate dads. And we want to celebrate fathers. And we want to equip them to do what God has called them to do. And so I was thinking about dads this week in light of Father's Day. And I thought about a famous American from our past who was himself a father. It's the influential founding father, Patrick Henry. Now, he was one of the founders in many ways of the nation that we now enjoy. He was one of the first delegates to the Continental Congress in 1774. He served as the commander-in-chief of the Virginia military during the Revolutionary War. He's just an incredible man, and he was known for a lot of things he said. His most famous one was when he said, "Give me liberty or give me..." Yeah, I mean, you guys know this, or many of you... Okay, and you know, he spoke so many things. But there are two other quotes that I came across that just I think are awesome. Now, this was one talking about Christianity. He says, and it'll be up on screen, he says, "It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Not on religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ." And see, what's impressive to me about that is not only was he a leader, but he was a father. And so the next quote, you can almost see what his most important, you know, as important as America is to him, and as important as national liberties and national things, he then drew it home because his last will, his last thing, and it's actually printed up in Virginia, were these words. After he'd given all to his kids and all, he said these words. He says, "I have now given everything I own to my children. There's one more thing I wish I could give them, and that is Christ." Now pay attention to this. "Because if they have everything I gave them and don't have Christ, they have nothing." Daddies, the things you give your kids, you know, that great education, as important as that is, if they don't have Jesus, they have nothing. Daddies, that wonderful home, that great place, that big bedroom, that wonderful toy chest full of toys, if they have all that but they have nothing, or if they don't have Jesus, they have nothing. And so the question is, we're talking about heaven on earth. Today I want us just to answer the question, how do you give heaven to someone else? How do you share what you have been given? How do you take what God has blessed you with and flow it over in such a way that other people have it? And I know as soon as I say this, there's a word that comes to mind, and it's a dirty word for so many of us. It's the word evangelism. You go, oh no. And you need to understand that when we talk about sharing heaven or sharing our faith, we are not talking about forcing it down anyone's throat. We're not talking about forcing it on someone. We're not talking about force. We're talking about something far more powerful and long-lasting. In fact, I believe to share heaven with others, daddies, moms, friends, it's as simple as loving Oreos. By the way, how many of you like Oreos? Would you just raise your hands, please? Some of you, do you want to raise two hands for that answer? Yes, yes.
Oreos.
I like Oreos. Now I like them a lot. I've talked about them and I've joked about them. I like them, but one of my good friends, who's just, I won't embarrass him, he's here today, but one of my good friends, Aaron, loves Oreos. I mean, he in fact has helped me appreciate the value of a good Oreo. And he's broadened my knowledge base, because here's the deal. I thought there were like two kinds of Oreos, like regular and then double stuffed, right? Oh no. Oh no. Did you know there are over 25 different flavors of Oreo? Like, you don't just have regular Oreo, you have banana-filled flavored Oreo. You have strawberry shortcake Oreo. You have, let's see, we got some of these other ones up here. You've got fudge cream, you've got peanut butter, white fudge, you have birthday cake. Ooh, a party in your mouth. It is fantastic. You have all these different types, and not only do you have different flavors, they have different types. Like, men, you want to feel a little manly? Go out and buy yourself a bag of football-shaped Oreos. Or maybe you're one of those who just has like a double jaw. You can open up like a snake. They've got a triple-decker Oreo. And if you visit other parts of the world, they have different types of Oreos that we can't even get in America. Like they have, over in Asia, they have a green tea Oreo. Oh, muy bien. Oh, that's good. In fact, my friend Aaron told me that he would sometimes... like he would go online and order Oreos. I was like, that's cool. One day we had lunch together, and there was, no lie, the best Oreo in the history of the world. It was a deep-fried funnel cake Oreo. Can I get a big amen? Oh, my stars. Heaven opened up. Angels came down and brought me milk. It was phenomenal. And here's the cool thing. Aaron loves Oreos, so he talks about Oreos. But as much as he loves and talks about Oreos, guess what? He has never strapped me down to a chair, pried my mouth open, and force-fed me Oreos. And he's still my friend, even though I don't like him. And because I love Jesus, I'm going to talk about Jesus. I'm going to tell you why it's the best in the world, why he is the most compelling personality in history, why he's the most gracious Savior, why he is the most incomprehensible and unknowable mind. I'm going to talk about him because I love him. But guess what? I will never force you to love Jesus. And I'll still be your friend if you never choose to follow him. But I have a firm conviction that if I express my love for Jesus, then some of you who don't yet know him are going to be like the psalmist, and you're going to take me up on the offer to, get this now, taste and see that the Lord is good. That bringing heaven, you say, why are you talking about heaven? Why not God? Understand, heaven is the realm or the place where God's will is done perfectly. 100% of the time, God is always present in heaven, and heaven is where his will is done perfectly. So when you bring heaven to earth, you are actually bringing God into your place, and bringing God is always going to be because of your great love. You will rarely convince anyone to follow Jesus out of rules or hatred. Now, the rules and obedience will come because you love him. But rarely do rules lead to love. And so what would it look like if you were to share Jesus like you share your favorite food, your favorite beverage, your favorite whatever? What if this week you began to do this? Because evangelism is not about knowing facts or figures. It's simply, get this now, it is presenting the flavor of heaven to the hungry table of earth. That is all sharing your faith is. And some people are like, man, I need to be taught how to share my faith. No, you may need to be taught some Bible so you understand it better, but you don't need anyone to teach you to love something. Grandparents, men, just out of curiosity, do you like your grandchildren most of the time? Would you raise your hand? Do you have to have someone explain to you how to tell someone else why your grandson or your granddaughter is the most intelligent child? Like, you come out and you're like, my grandson, he is so brilliant. One day he looked up and he saw this airplane and he goes, airplane, airplane. And he's so brilliant. And then all your friends look at you and go, yeah, he was 18 years old. He's not brilliant, but you're convinced he's brilliant. And you tell everyone he's brilliant. No one has to teach you, granddaddies or parents, to talk about your kids because you love your kids. No one needs to teach you how to share the good news if you've experienced the good news yourself. Taste and see. And they're like, oh my goodness, you got to try this. You got to try it. In fact, this idea is that you are a sample of heaven to people on earth. Anyone in here like samples? Just anyone? Samples? You know, you go through like a Sam's Club. Growing up, we would make the loop, right? Saturday morning. You know, so dad time, we'd either go, I mean, that's the way we did it. And sometimes, you know, like we would go through and kind of circle back around, hoping that maybe different people were at those same stations so they would not recognize us, you know, or come up with a different accent. You know, like, you're the same kid. What in the world? And because they're so good. There's a guy I know named Dino who, when he moved to Birmingham, Alabama, he went to this miraculous place called a Costco for the first time. Any of you ever been to a Costco? We are members at Sam's. We love it. But Costco, evidently, is just like, whoop. And so he goes into a Costco. First time ever. Early morning. They're getting things set up. His wife is going to shop. And so he just starts to wander. And he says that as he starts to wander, he smells something really good. And he comes over and there's this woman there. And He says, hi. She says, hi. Come to find out, she's called a sample engineer. I'm impressed. And so she goes, hi. He goes, hi. You know, how are you? I'm well. And he's eyeing the food the whole time, right? And he says, what do you have here? She goes, well, may I tell you what we are presenting to the fine folks of Birmingham this wonderful day? He goes, absolutely. Tell me more. She goes, well, we have a tortilla chip. Ooh. And she goes on to say, this tortilla chip was brought from the mountains of Costa Rica. It was brought down on Velvet Lane mules. It was barged over on rhinestone barges to the port of Birmingham. And we have partnered this tortilla chip with some guacamole. And he goes, he's like, man, I'm starting to speak Spanish. He's like, hola, señorita. Fuego, fuego. Andale, andale. He's ready for it. And she says, and this guacamole is not just any guacamole. We have onions from California. We have bell peppers that were from Alaska. We have spices from Nicaragua. And it is just this blend from heaven. And she says, would you like one? And he's like, oh! He salivates. He grabs one. And he starts, she goes, would you like another? He goes, absolutely. He has guacamole all over his face. He looks like my two-year-old daughter. And he is just going to town. Then he sees his wife who comes and goes, baby, come here. We're moving to Honduras. Because someone said, would you like a taste? He said, before he left, his wife had a cart of food, and he had a cart of guacamole and chips. Because as you live with the flavor of heaven in your life, people are going to go, I want what you got. Friend, when your words are seasoned with the salt of heaven, when your words are used to heal, not harm, people go, I want what you got. When you open your space and invite people in who don't have a place, maybe it's your home, maybe it's your small group, maybe it's your Bible class, maybe it's your hobby with that group of people you get together with. When you invite people in, when you show biblical hospitality, people go, man, that tastes good. I want some more. And they may not understand the why, but they certainly will be asking, can I get some more of that? That is what it means. In fact, Paul uses this phrase in 2 Corinthians 5. He says that you and I are ministers of reconciliation. In fact, this is what he says. All this is from God. Every good gift, all this stuff, this reconciliation coming together, who reconciled us, get this now, to himself through Christ. And now, because you have tasted and seen that God is good, He has now given us the ministry of reconciliation. Do you know what that word ministry means? It comes from this Greek word, diakonoetno. And it means a servant. And often it referred to a servant who waited on tables. He's saying, you are the heavenly waiter presenting the flavors of God to people. And you say, well, what am I giving to them? You're presenting this thing that God has been serving up for thousands of years, just called reconciliation. That word in the Latin means to bring back together. That once everything was perfect, but then we blew it. We messed up. Every person by nature and by choice has made sinful decisions and we have blown it. We've rebelled against God. And now he says, even though you've messed it up, even though you've got that nasty taste of the world in your mouth, let me come along. I will give you a palate cleanser of my goodness, of my reconciliation. It's all you, all I, all we are called to do is to taste and see that God is good and then simply say to a hungry world, do you want some? Because I love Oreos. You want some? No, I don't like that. That's okay. Well, we got strawberry shortcake Oreos. You want some of that instead? If you don't like that, we have banana fudge. If you don't like that, we've got that deep fried funnel cake. Call your coroner and call your doctor and call everyone, but it's good stuff. Because what we have tasted is so good and it has a taste for every person regardless of where they are today. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And this week, God is already placing people at the table of the world around your work. And he's going to say, as you go into your work tomorrow, there's a table I'm already set. There are people there. They don't even know they're at my table. And I'm going to send you with this flavor of heaven. Give them a taste. I will do the rest, he says. At your little hobby place or maybe at your gym, God is already setting a place. By the way, one of the best places to evangelize is right there in the gymnasium, you know, on the treadmill, because you're stuck next to someone else for 30 minutes and they are running towards a bright light. And so you can look at them and say, hey, before you die, could we talk about where you're going to end up in just a few minutes? And so it's a great place. And so God is putting you in places this week, family, to share. In fact, I was thinking about some of the people who just taste like heaven around here at Antioch. I was thinking about my friend Shirley Thurman. Any of you know Miss Shirley Thurman? My goodness. She is one of the most, she is one of the most heavenly tasting people in the world. She has the flavor of God on her all the time. Every Sunday, I will be here, and I'm setting up some things, and she comes in early, she and Mr. Jack Bird, and they're just wonderful leaders in our greeter ministry, and she will almost always pull me aside, and she'll say, let me tell you what God did for me this week. Oh, and she'll say, and it was so amazing, and I can't believe he loves me, and he woke me up. And understand, you say, oh yeah, but she's had a charmed life. She would tell you this. She has lost a husband to death. She's lost a son in death. She has fought cancer. Just 2 weeks ago, she lost a family member, 48 years old. As well. And you know, the most amazing thing about Miss Shirley is while she does not ignore what has happened, she brings the flavor of death into a world of death. She brings the flavor of life, of heaven. She brings this flavor of God wherever she goes. I love her. Someone else I think of, and again, I talk about him all the time. I work with him. I love him. It's Wayne Holt. Any of you know Wayne Holt? Man, when Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth, Wayne Holt is one of the saltiest guys I know, and it's not his language. All right? Wayne is one of these men who, when you are around him, you go away saying, I think I have seen a picture of Jesus Christ. There's always a good word for you. There's always an encouraging question. How you doing? There's always a follow-up. Hey, I've been thinking about what we talked about. How's it going? And I think about so many of you who are already the flavor of heaven. And so this week, we do this through the series. Go to this next slide. Just go to the kingdom. Yeah, here we go. This week, here's what I'm going to invite you to do. Are you ready, church? I want you to share what God has given you. I want you to share heaven with someone this week. And I'm going to give you a real easy way to do it. And if you read this, you're going to go, oh no, I can't do this. Let me explain it though, okay? This week, heaven on earth for you. Go on a short-term mission trip. I'll explain that. And while you're on it, ask God for the opportunity to give someone a taste of him. You say, no, wait a minute, I got to work 9 to 5 or 8 to 5 or 6 to 7 or whatever it is, and I can't go on a mission. Yes, you can. Short term, 30 minutes, an hour. A mission trip is anywhere you go on mission for God. So I'll tell you, one of the things I do sometimes is I'll find during my lunch break, I'll just skip lunch and I'll go like to a Starbucks, or I'll go to a McDonald's, or I'll go to some place where I know people are going to be at that hour. And I will sit there, and instead of taking a book, I will simply look around and I will pray for those people I see and say, God, is there someone here that I can kind of just rub heaven onto them? Could your beautiful flavor, the smell of heaven, just kind of waft from me and give me opportunity to say hi or talk? And curious thing, yesterday I was at a Starbucks for a few minutes and a guy sees me with my Bible and in tears goes, this has never happened to me before, family. This is awesome. He goes, can you tell me about Jesus? Yes! It works! Go on a mission trip this week, and here's what will happen. As you do so, God will give you opportunities to extend the flavor of heaven to a hungry earth. This is what it means, church, to share your faith. This sort of begs a question, though, real quick, and we'll be done. If you were to share the flavor of heaven, we've got to ask, though, have you first already tasted of heaven? See, I'm afraid a lot of people come to church and they are very tasted and salted with religion and legalism. And coming on Sunday, I'm here whenever the doors are open, but have never met Jesus. And so what they share is not a pleasant taste, but they run from what they think is God because the flavor is so foul. Have you tasted and seen that the Lord is good? And if you haven't, then this morning is the time for you to do that.